Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy me. You'll be glad you did.
Again, it's All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Lake, and tonight we're talking about a serious topic, abortion. Whether you are for or against, this is something that many of us have either dealt with or will deal with or have dealt with and are dealing with now. Just as the discussions about gay marriage has been yelling mostly and name-calling, between the people who are, I'm right and you're wrong, the same thing is going on with abortion and has been going on. And in the process, as we fight each other and point at each other and call each other wrong, the voices of the people who are most affected seldom are heard. And I intend to address that anytime I can with my shows. And with me is my guest for tonight, Candace Talmadge. Candace is the author of A World Lost to the Collision of Politics, Passion, and Piety. I want to welcome you, Candace, to the show. Hi.
Good evening, Deborah.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm very happy to have you here. Now, we're going to talk about your book a little later on in the show, but for the beginning of it, I want to focus on the article that you wrote about helping two friends, is it? Was it two?
Two friends
talk
and
about, yeah, and there was something in it that really struck me because I, as a minister, I help women think through abortion, whether or not, without pushing my agenda one way or the other. And I've also helped a very close family member have that same decision. And one thing in your article really struck me, and I want to bring it out right now. All I could do, this is from your article, all I could do was help each woman examine her unique life circumstances at the time and then support her in her choice. Tell me about that.
Well, at the time, let's start by putting these in context.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sound asleep. I'm in my 20s, and the phone rings. It's around 3 in the morning. Now, when the phone rings at 3 in the morning, that's either a wrong dial or it's not really good news.
Yeah.
And in both these cases, it was not really good news. And one of these friends was a friend I'd known for a long time. Another was a friend from college. And both of them had gotten pregnant and didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me, and they were her just, I mean, the first part of the phone call was just dedicated to calming them down.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm here, I'm listening, let's talk about it. Because I really didn't have all that much life experience, and I didn't have any guidance or training as any type of counselor or minister or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could offer to my friends was unconditional love. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it seemed to help me a great deal, because in that situation, and like I say in that article, I wish that people could walk in their shoes for a few minutes and find out what a crisis it is when a woman is pregnant and doesn't want to be pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I've never encountered or heard of, now there may be instances in which it's just some sort of casual blasé thing, but in my experience of it, an unwanted pregnancy is a crisis. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's an emotional, a spiritual, a physical, and very often an economic crisis for the woman involved.
Mm-hmm.
And these women were in crisis, so all I had to do was, as a friend, just listen, really.
That's so important, and we fail to do that so many times, because what I find is that people have their own agendas, and whether or not they own it or not is a different thing.
Right.
Sometimes they can't, because it's just how they see things. They don't
mm-hmm.
see it as their agenda. But we're so busy trying to create what we think is reality that the person gets lost. And I think that's tragic, so tragic, because that's when we need each other the most, when we are struggling. And you point out so well how difficult the decision is. Most women do not make this decision lightly.
No, they don't.
It's not lightly made, regardless of what certain fractions of society would like to say. Most women don't. And it's important for us to be able to be there. So
well,
I'm wondering how, what I want to do with these shows is to give people the guidance to be able to put their own feelings aside. And sometimes you might, for instance, in the case with my family member, I had strong feelings about it. But it was her journey, and I had to keep telling myself. So tell us how you knew to keep yourself out of it.
I don't. What I think helped me in this instance is not wisdom or age, but the simple fact that I really loved and cared about the two people who I was talking to. And that enabled me just to say, I love you. You know, I'm here. Let's talk about your options. I certainly didn't then, and I wouldn't now, pretend to have all the answers for a person who's in this kind of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, I know the answer, I said, let's talk about possible answers and possible choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was really helpful. You know, in this case, ignorance was actually helpful. I couldn't pretend to be all-knowing and all-wise.
Well, it's interesting because none of us are. Because when, especially in this kind of situation, we're talking about someone else's life. So
mm-hmm.
we can't have all the answers.
Yes,
we don't.
We can't. We don't have all the answers. And
regardless of age.
Regardless of age or whatever, we don't. And the point is to be, the point is, I think, in looking at abortion, you have to be, it helps to be specific and take each case, each person as a case-by-case basis. You know, so many people want to push a one-size-fits-all answer, and there can't be a one-size-fits-all answer to this issue. There just can't be. What I like about the current situation is that it allows for women to seek counseling from whomever they choose and make whatever decision is right for them. I think I know what some of the counselors who would offer them advice would say, but again, it gives women, it grants them the dignity and the freedom and the autonomy to say, this is how I'm going to order my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is in the whole debate, and this, you know, this has been going on for decades.
Right.
The debate over, and I have had movement. I started out. I am the kind of person who started out all the way over anti-abortion, no way, no how. And that is still my personal belief, but as far as another person, I can't tell them I can't tell them to live my idea of what works for me, you know?
Yes.
So one of the things that I find happens is, and that's what silences women so much, is the people who have strong feelings, and we all do, want to bring everyone else into the same mindset. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what that does to women or to anyone who's struggling with it, with a topic, whether it's abortion, whether it's whether or not to come out as a gay or lesbian. You know, anytime you're struggling with something like that, what does that do?
Well, let me. I think what we need to recognize here is that what silences women about abortion and what silences gays about their sexual orientation is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They fear judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of judgment to go around on issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the voices of women and the voices of those who do not have the heterosexual sexual orientation have been silenced because they just don't want to deal with all the condemnation that they're going to face if they are open and straightforward about what's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why the voices of women are lost. Now, certain factions will parade women who've had abortions and changed their minds and felt regret and guilt, but I can guarantee you they've been harangued and lectured to within an inch of their life about how bad and evil they were
mm-hmm.
to have this abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And what we haven't heard from is from women who've had abortions and gone on to be happily married and have kids or whatever, but who've gone on with their lives. They haven't talked about it because they just don't want to be harassed, stalked, intimidated, and condemned by people who disagree with their decision.
Yeah. And my guest before, Friday, I think it was, in the show right before this one, she really laid out the fact that a lot of times there's a gray area in there where women, regardless of what the decision is that they make, they have regrets. So
absolutely.
For someone to pick out a group of two or three women and say, well, look at them, they wish they hadn't, that's part of the process. That's part of the whole process. You have regrets. You have mixed feelings about whether or not you should have abortion, whether or not you should bring the pregnancy to term. All of that is not a black or white.
It's not a black or white. And let me tell you that I have another good friend who was raped.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the 60s. She got pregnant as a result of the rape and carried the kid to term and gave it up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Every year when that child's birth rolls around, this woman grieves.
Mm.
So this tidy little fantasy about how fulfilled women will be that if they don't want to have the kid, they just keep it to term and then give it up for adoption, that doesn't work for everybody either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's what I said to my friends. You know, there isn't any great choice here.
Yeah.
There's the choice that will be easiest for you to live with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the one you go for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it's you know, keeping the child or giving birth and giving up the child or having an abortion, you know, there are challenges and issues with every single choice you've got. So, you know, let's work through them. Let's talk about them. What will be for you the least onerous road to travel?
Exactly. Well, let's take a quick break, about 30 seconds, and then when we come back, I want to talk about what you can say about how this whole process changes people. Okay? I'll be right
back. Okay.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there? I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking, venting.
No, Rachel found out John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah, she was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe.
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
Okay, we are back, and I'm here with my guest, and we're talking about the personal side of abortion. And I'm here with my guest, Candace Talmadge. Tell us about what you can say about how this whole process changes women, regardless of what the answer turns out to be.
Well, for starters, unless she decides to keep the baby, she's left with a secret.
Mm.
A past, something she did, either give away the child or have an abortion. So she's got, this is the reason women grieve. You referred to it, they have unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that an abortion will deal with the physical crisis, but traditional medicine and even a lot of traditional therapists aren't really capable or prepared to address and help women resolve all of the emotional issues surrounding either having an abortion or carrying a pregnancy to term or giving up the child or even keeping a child.
Mm-hmm.
So there, what it is it is a profound life crisis, and some women respond by just shutting it out and not wanting to deal with it ever again. Unfortunately, I've seen that too. Other women can use it to grow. It just depends, I think, on the individual woman and what her level of inner strength is.
Mm-hmm. So many times I've heard women say that, I just want to go back to the way I was before. And sometimes we think about abortion as women wanting to be the way they were before they became pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a false idea, because no matter what you decide, you're changed.
Yes.
You're changed.
Yes, you're changed. And what the women who are saying that are really saying, from my perspective, is that they desperately want some sort of resolution so they don't stay stuck on that on that issue for the rest of their life.
Hmm.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Because they may have an abortion and the physical crisis may be over, but that emotional and spiritual crisis lingers. And there are ways to address it and deal with it, but they're not as well known as the traditional counseling. I mean, that addresses the mental part. And mentally you can decide, yes, I want to move on, but emotionally and spiritually, that's another issue.
And the questions that you have. I mean, I've had women tell me they look at kids who are around the age that their child would be and wonder just the questions that you live with. Also, the other side of that is women who choose to have their children a lot of times have questions about what kind of life they would have had if they made another decision.
Exactly.
And they mourn that possibility. You know what I mean? Because either way, you're changed. And
yes.
I can't stress that more enough, because, you know, you're changed regardless.
And, you know, this seems to me what we're saying in a roundabout way is that the best pregnancy is a wanted pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
and it behooves us to try to do everything we can to lower the rate of unintended pregnancies.
Yes.
Now, there are many ways, and that will get you off into a whole nother shouting match.
Yes, and that's one that's another shouting match.
Mm-hmm. But the reality is that if you look at the countries where sex education includes contraception and where there is a more open discussion about it, the rates of teen pregnancy and unwanted pregnancy are far lower than our rates here
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Because kids have they have some place where they can talk that's safe, you know, and where they don't have to go out and find out from their friends, like our kids sometimes have to do.
Right.
And that's where you get into trouble.
Right, because they may not have the most accurate information.
Yeah, exactly. And that also contributes to the spread of HIV as well among young people. It's like a snowball type thing. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Not talking about it. You see, a lot of times we think if we don't talk about it, it's not there. But it is. It's just, not talked about.
Well, again, that's the atmosphere of judgment around it.
Mm-hmm.
When you fear judgment, or when you are very judgmental, the flip side of that is a denial. If something's going on in your life that's contrary to one of your judgments, you tend not to want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think teenagers don't tell mom and dad, or they don't get contraception if they're going to be sexually active? Well, if you go to Planned Parenthood and get a diaphragm, or you go and insist that your boyfriend buy a condom, you are acknowledging that you are going to be sexually active.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you have a lot of condemnation around that, and you're 16 or 17, you're going to be less likely to take measures that would prevent an unwanted pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to be in denial about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just happens, and oops, oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your book. I love the title. Tell us about it.
Well, actually, the title of the series is The Greenstone of Healing.
Oh, okay.
And it is a speculative epic that is set in a lost island nation called Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
And it chronicles four generations of women who own a mysterious stone. And this stone has properties of healing and protection. And the lives of these women are very much caught up with the political events of their times. And they try to use their stone to offer a loving and inclusive alternative to theocrats who want total domination and control.
Hmm.
They don't win the battle, but life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And the desire to dominate and to be in total control is what ultimately destroys Asgard, the island nation.
Hmm. What brought you to write it? I'm curious.
I'm sort of a one-trick pony. I've been a professional writer all my life. And ever since I was in my early teens, 12, 13,
mm-hmm.
I've always known that I wanted to write a novel,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go through a lot of personal healing and growing before I was able to do it, but I finally sat down and started writing, and, I'm just about two chapters away from finishing the fifth book in this series, so I'm definitely writing.
Great. Well, you don't have a writer's block, sounds like, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. Well, it's very much in keeping with this whole issue of resolution and healing, because abortion is a crisis that needs a resolution, and there's not a good, happy ending, but there's an ending that we can live with and be at peace with,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
possibly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in my series. I mean, it's not a happy ending. The whole place gets destroyed, and most of the earth gets torn up in the process. But people do survive and they go on and they come to a point where they can start over again.
Mm.
And that's pretty much the message, is that healing is possible, but it's not what we think it is.
Yeah.
It's different from what we have a too limited definition of what healing is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the physical, it's not just the mental. We've got to bring the emotional and spiritual components of healing into the healing process, not just giving them lip service, but allowing our emotional and spiritual selves to play an active role, not just in our healing, but in our being, in
mm-hmm.
being here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really like what you say when you say that healing is not what we can imagine, is what I heard you say. It's something that we don't know what we're going toward. And part of that is because as we heal, we become someone else, we become
exactly.
a better person, and we can't envision, right?
Yes. Well, actually, what we become when we really heal at the emotional and spiritual level, what we find is deeper levels of peace, inner peace, and self-acceptance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because what's tormenting us, what's eating our lunch, cleaning our clock, and making us run around like headless chickens are all those judgments we hold against self.
Yep, that's right. That is so true. Well, we're about out of time, and I'm going to ask you, as we go out, if you have any more pearls of wisdom that you'd like to say to someone who is actually going through the process right now of trying to decide yay or nay, who knows what they're going through. Maybe they feel like they're by themselves. And that young woman is sitting right in front of you. What would you like to say to her?
I'd like to say to her that although you may feel alone and in crisis and isolated, you are loved and you are love worthy. You have a difficult choice. You have the right to make the choice that will be the easiest for you to live with for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, you may not know or be sure about what that choice will be, and you have to make it from where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you will do your best, and that's good enough.
Very well said. Thank you. And thank you for being here, Candace. It was a pleasure with you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's it for today. Thanks for being here. And I want to thank you for telling your friends, your family, and your colleagues about All the Way In. We're getting more and more popular, and that's because of you. And, you know, we're going to have some changes coming down the pike that I'm excited about. We're going to have new time, some new format coming in, a lot of new changes. So keep telling people about All the Way In. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise. I'm Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time, world. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember to live all the way in your life. Until next time, stay connected. Visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of